Our scripture lesson comes from the 6th chapter of Matthew, verses 7 through 13. You may follow along in your pew Bible on page 5 or on the monitors overhead. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those. So I'm referring to the Lord's Prayer. As we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trials, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
So I'm starting something today, and for a couple of months now, here through the first part of the summer at least, I want to do a series, and the series that I'm doing is it's all based on the Lord's Prayer. Here we go. A few weeks ago, we were praying the Lord's Prayer at the communion table, as we do every Sunday, and I was just, sometimes you hear things week after week after week, but then every now and then your mind kind of clicks in, and we were praying, and I thought, this prayer is so rich and so full and is so meaningful, and we pray it every week, and we think about it, but we also sometimes, I think, we go on autopilot. We don't think about it, but I thought, when you think about it, when you really focus in on these words, there's a lot of power in this prayer. I was telling the staff that I knew pretty well one of the funeral directors in Northwest Indiana when I lived there, and every now and then he would call me up and he'd say, Jason, he said, we got this family, and we're doing a funeral for them, and they need a pastor for the funeral, and he had a list of pastors he would call for things like that. And so I'd try to help him out once or twice a year that I would do this funeral for this family I didn't know, and I certainly didn't know the person. And that's always a little tricky. I thought, I'm not knowing what I'm getting into. I'm not knowing the situation. Don't really have any connection at all with this family. But I found when I did those funerals, there was one thing I could always count on and one thing I could always rely on. I'd be up there before him and I'd say, let's join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I'd have a room full of people praying with me. And some of these folks had little or no church background, but yet they knew to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our church elders will tell you when they do communion visits for people who are home-based or in nursing facilities or in the hospital, that sometimes people, their health has declined so much that they don't really give much indication that they know that you're there, and so you may talk and you don't get a whole lot back from them. But one thing that will happen, though, is as soon as you start praying the Lord's Prayer, I mean, they're right there with you, and they're praying along with you. It's, I mean, these words kind of get ingrained in us, and they can, you know, they're things that we call upon in those moments when we've lost everything else. There was a lady I knew who was getting an MRI, and she's very claustrophobic. She doesn't like closed-in spaces, so she was really nervous about being in that MRI tube, and so I asked her about it afterwards. I said, well, how did it go? And she said, I prayed the Lord's Prayer 24 times. You know, she's there getting the MRI, you know, that's the words that she kind of just repeated in her mind. And as she was really nervous, that's what her mind tuned into. Now, we as Christians, we may disagree on a lot of things. I mean, we may disagree about politics or the fine points of theology or our worship styles or how to do things. I mean, we can disagree on all of those things. But one thing I found is you get Christians together and you pray the Lord's Prayer and we're all kind of right there in there together. I mean, there's a unity that we have at least in this prayer. So that's what I want to make the focus is the Lord's Prayer here over the next a few weeks, and each week I'm going to take one phrase from it and make that the focus for our sermon. So the scripture readings over the next few weeks are going to be really short. They're going to be a sentence long, basically. So I want to begin at the obvious point at the beginning with this. So this is the Greek text, pater hymen o en tois urinois. So pater, that's father, where you get paternalistic, you know, words like that. Hymen of us, o en tois, who is in, and then urinois is in the heavens or the skies. So if you were to kind of translate that real roughly, you'd say father of us in the heavens or the skies. So if you wanted to clean up the English, then you'd say our father who is in heaven, or the King James version of it is our father who art in heaven. Now this would have been a very different sermon a year ago. But I've got 6 months of fathering under my belt now, and so I just view all of this really differently, and this all means different things for us. Now most of you know our baby who's with us is with us as a foster child, but we have him with the hopes that he's with us permanently, and there's a process to work through, and we can't really be very open about that, but that's the situation. Now, I will say this, though. It's hard work. It's harder than anything I've done in my life, and I'm not exaggerating there. And I'm not breaking new news to anybody here by saying that. I mean, every parent, every human being knows this, that this it's just hard work with a baby around. And I think what makes it hard is it doesn't stop. It's all the time. Now, school was hard. I've had jobs that were hard. I've done things in my life that are hard, but there's a moment where it stops. You know, school, you know, you get the break in the weekend or the semester break. Or you know, when I was in school, I was doing fun stuff with friends on the evenings or weekends or whatever. And in jobs, there's a point where you clock out and you go home or you have a vacation. But this baby stuff, it doesn't stop. I mean, it's always ongoing. And Madeline, my wife, compared it to swimming upstream in a flooded river while holding a baby above water without ever getting a break. I mean, you're swimming, and we do it though. I mean, I'm not breaking news to anybody here. But we do it because we love the guy. This is not obviously not me, but we do this because, you know, there's that love there. And I'm often up early in the morning to feed him, and no big deal. I'm an early riser, and so I'm happy to do that. But I'm often up early and then changing his diaper and feeding him and putting him back to sleep. And in the midst of changing a diaper, he's tired and I'm tired. But still in that early morning hour and that tiredness, he'll give me a big smile. And then all of a sudden, it's all worth it. And then there's the moment of holding him where he's going back to sleep in my arms. And there's a feeling of love there. I mean, it's no matter how hard it is, there's just an honest love there. And different than the love, you know, you say you're in love, like when you're in high school and you're all dreamy-eyed about somebody. And that's one type of love and beautiful and blessed in its own way. But I mean, this is different. And a love that says, I'll do whatever it takes for this little guy. You know, if life called for me to step in front of a truck for him, I'd do it. Now, that's not because I'm some type of all-star human being or anything like that. It's just most parents feel this way about their child, that they'll just do whatever it takes. And now, I know that there are all kinds of examples in this world of parents who aren't like that, of parents who are abusive or neglectful or just not very good parents at all. I mean, there are those stories. But for most parents, I think, they'll do whatever it takes for this child. And I was telling a nurse who's a mother of has some kids, and I was telling her about this family. I knew that the child in the family needed a kidney, and so the mother had donated one of her kidneys to her child. But yet the child's body rejected the kidney, and so the father at that time was being tested to donate a kidney. And I was telling her about this, and I said, I can't imagine the suffering and the hardship that this family has gone through. And she said, yes. She said, but there's nothing that you wouldn't do for your child. And I thought, she's right. You do these things. So Jesus, as he teaches us to pray through what we know as the Lord's Prayer, he invites us to pray beginning simply with our Father. Now let me say this, and some Christians get uneasy about this, but I think you're fine with this. The Bible uses both mother and father imagery to talk about the love that God has for us. In Isaiah 66, I often quote this at funerals, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." So mothers, when you're comforting your child, whether your child is 4 weeks old or 44 years old, that comfort that you give your child is a picture of the love that God has to this world. In Hosea, the word from God is that God says, "I was like those who lift infants to their cheeks." So mothers and fathers, when you hold your baby close to you in your love, you're showing us a little bit like what God is like. Jesus himself compared himself to a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. He was speaking of the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "I longed to gather you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks together." You see, when the Bible talks about God, the Bible has to speak in metaphors. Because ultimately, God is beyond our understanding. Ultimately, God is beyond what our minds can conceive. So we have to use analogies. We have to use similes and metaphors. Sort of like when the Bible talks about God as a rock. Now, does that mean that God is a piece of marble or granite? You know the answer to that is no. But you understand what it's saying. It's saying God is stable and secure and strong and formidable. You say, okay, God's like a rock. Okay, I get that. So Jesus invites us into prayer with one of the strongest metaphors that we can use as a parent. He says, pray this way, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now I know that not everyone had the greatest dad in the world. I hope you were blessed with an all-star dad. And my dad was that way. I love my dad. I love all that he's given to me. But I also know there are dads who were duds. I know for a lot of us that when we use father, when we talk about father imagery or dad, that doesn't always mean fantastic things for some of us. Not everyone, but for some of us. But keep in mind, when Jesus uses this image, keep in mind how else he's used father imagery in other ways that he talks. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the father is there, is ready with love and forgiveness to welcome his son who's made a mess of everything, is still ready to welcome him back. That father is ready to go out to that elder son who's crabby and obstinate and to love him back into the family. When Jesus invites us to pray, in another passage he says, "If your child asks for bread, are you going to give your child a stone?" Well, you know the answer is no. He says, "If your child asks for a fish, are you going to give that child a snake?" You know the answer to that is no. He says, if that's how you are, the fathers of this world, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, then imagine how God is. So you see, when Jesus invites us to begin this prayer with our Father in heaven, he's inviting us into that type of relationship with God, that type of relationship that the father and the prodigal son has for his children, a relationship of trust, a relationship of generosity, a relationship where there's forgiveness and love. I imagine you remember, if you're an adult, you remember what it was like as a child when you were out playing and you got hurt. You were running around and maybe you fell, you scraped your knee, you hurt your elbow, you broke your toy, maybe even broke a bone, and you were hurt, and you were upset, and you were crying, and you ran into the house. Now at that moment, whom were you looking for as you ran into the house? Were you looking for your brother or your sister? Probably not. You were looking for your mom or your dad. And you thought, okay, if I can find mom or dad, they're going to make everything okay. I remember, I don't know, 4, 5 years old, I was with my mom. we were at a downtown department store, and this was back in the days when small towns had the little department store that had a little bit of everything, and we still have one of those at the time. And I remember there was a rack of kids' books there in this little department store, and my mom sat me down in front of the rack of kids' books and said, "Oh, you can look at these books." And she was off in another section of the store, and this was small town Missouri in the 70s, and didn't think much of leaving your kid here and going off to another part of the store. And these days we're a little more conscious of the challenges there, but then you didn't think much of it. And so I sat there and I looked through the kids' books for a while, and I remember, I hear now what 42 years later, I still remember this. I remember after looking at the kids' books for a while, I looked up and I thought, "Where's Mom?" And, you know, I looked around and I didn't see her, and I got afraid. And I still remember that fear now. And I was kind of walking, half running around this department store, tears in my eyes. And one of the clerks, I think, who knew our families, saw me and said, "Hey, is everything okay?" And then eventually brought me to my mom. And I still remember that moment of kind of seeing her, and then it was okay. You know, it was okay. Everything was fine then at that moment. You know what I'm talking about? In your distress or in your feeling hurt, you looked for mom or dad, and then mom or dad could make everything okay. Well, Jesus, when he asks us to pray, he invites us into prayer knowing there's that type of relationship there, that type of parental love. And so as we begin our prayer, he invites us to pray with these very simple, loving, trusting words: "Our Father, who art in heaven, Amen."